This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Here tonight, it's Ian
and Bonnie,
and we had Jeremy Kaufman with us in the first hour of the show, for most of the first hour, from Library, LBRY.com, the protocol that had a company that was backing it. Now the SEC has completely destroyed that company, so we're waiting to see what... How bad the damage is going to be, that yet has yet to be determined by the judge in the case. And, of course, we'll keep you in the loop as that situation develops over time. And I know, Bonnie, you had a question in regards to that situation, what we're going to do next, that kind of thing. I want to get into that question, but first, we do have David on the line in Georgia. Go ahead, David.
So, great show so far, you guys.
Thanks.
Last hour was a little bit demoralizing, so
yeah.
I just wanted to call in and say to everybody that we will make this. The government can't last forever. Crypto will win. It's just going to take time, and unfortunately, some really good people are going to go down because of it. And I know it's an unfortunate thing, but we will win in the end, because no empire lasts forever.
Yeah, I tend to have that optimistic view as well. And yes, it is true that in the fall of any empire, some people are going to get hurt. And I wish it didn't have to be that way, but that's just the reality of the world that we live in. You know, like, these people are violent, dangerous psychopaths who have no problem destroying human life if it stands in their way.
And obviously prosperity, too. Like,
yeah.
Destroying 8 million of the library's tokens because... Because?
No, I think it was 90 million.
Oh, 90 million?
8%. 8% of the
that's
total.
That's what it was. 90 yeah. million of library tokens. Just destroying them. These things that could, you know, become prosperity, basically. They're not even hiding that they're not working for you and they're working against you anymore.
Clearly.
Well, David, I'm glad you called in with us, and I'd like to keep you on the line, actually, because basically it's a similar thing to what I wanted to ask Jeremy, but it just felt like there was no time and nowhere to fit it in.
Asked him to stay, but, you know, he'd already been with us for the whole hour, so I figured we should let him go.
He's busy.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say, like, what is the solution to this? Like,
to the government attacking crypto?
The government attacking cryptocurrency. Because I can't just say, oh, I'm just going to give up on cryptocurrency. It's just going to, that's not the, you know, thing. And I don't think Jeremy was saying this either, but I'm just saying, some people might look at these situations, the Crypto 6, the library case, and say, we just have to give up on cryptocurrency. It's just never going to work. Outside of just moving outside the country, since, like, some countries aren't going after it as hard as the United States, what is the solution? Because, to me, I can't give up on cryptocurrency because it's basically the only answer. If cryptocurrency just, you know, ceased to exist tomorrow because of the U.S. government or whatever, I feel like there'd be no chance.
Personally, I think that the solution is to use cryptocurrency because... The problem is using their money. The money is what controls people. If they print it and people believe in it, then they control us. If we stop using it and we don't accept it, then they can no longer control us because we have something that's outside of their control. And I think that's the solution. The other topic I wanted to call in about is just a book recommendation that kind of goes along these lines.
Okay.
It's a book called Thieves Emporium, and that's Thieves Emporium by Max Hernandez, and it was written in 2014 or 2015, and I actually discovered it because I was, you know, interested in Bitcoin even back then, and it discusses this young mother who is actually going into these kinds of things using their equivalent of Tor and using gold as currency, and it talks about the Fed and inflation and quantitative easing, and it was just a really, really good book. I feel like it fits really well into what we were discussing even tonight and the ideas of liberty in general.
Thieves, as in like somebody who steals?
The book goes into the young mother, and she basically is a sex worker. And she's trying to get away from the guy who's controlling her. And this person gives her this card and gives her an address to go to. And she becomes a kind of underground person fighting against the government.
I think you were asking what the name of the title was, right?
Just the title. It sounds really interesting. I just didn't really understand the first word in the title.
Thieves. Like a person who steals from you. Thieves Emporium.
Interesting.
All right, David.
Matt Hernandez. And you can get it on Amazon, or where I prefer to get it was actually Smashwords.
I'm not familiar with that. What is Smashwords?
It is a kind of, it's for indie authors, and I think that's where this guy actually originally published it, and then it got picked up and put onto Amazon.
Oh, okay, so it's like a self-published thing.
Smashwords.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. David, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Of course, the challenge, though, to David's answer to your question, Bonnie, which was, yeah, what do we do? There's clearly an assault by the federal government gang on cryptocurrency as an industry and against individuals who might be doing peer-to-peer sales, as they did with the Crypto 6 case, as they did with the Mark Hopkins case down in Texas, the guy that got arrested, even though he did jump through the FinCEN hoops, even though he did what they supposedly wanted him to do.
He had a license.
He had a license. They came after him anyway. So, like, you know, there doesn't seem to be a real safe way to play this. They're going to go after the people that they want to destroy. Now, they can't just destroy cryptocurrency. As Jeremy pointed out, these are decentralized protocols. They exist whether or not the federal government cares about them or whatever, right? Like, if the federal government cares or they don't care, the cryptocurrency is going to continue. And people are going to continue to use it. However, if it becomes such a situation in which people are afraid to use it openly, and then crypto only is useful person to person, quietly on the down low, or using like a privacy coin on some darknet marketplace or whatever, then its value is going to be really limited. Mm-hmm. So I do agree with what David is saying, and that is to say that using it is important, but I don't think that is going to be enough because they're going to keep coming. They are afraid of what's going to happen to their dollar.
I have to agree. I love David's answer because it's a huge part of what needs to be done, that people need to just continue using it and accepting it, whether or not they're afraid that somebody, the government will come after them, because eventually they're going to come after us all if we don't stand up, you know?
Sure.
But the other thing, which I'm not saying this is some simple answer, but it is going to be part of the answer, is just enough people just saying no. Like, the government tells them they're not allowed to do something, and they just say, too bad, I'm doing it. I mean, like, that the first couple people that the government goes after, it's understandable that they can't do that. But they can't possibly, the SEC can't possibly go after everyone. And if the SEC is going after everyone and they just say, too bad, I'm continuing doing it anyway, I just think that's going to have to be the answer. I mean, people standing up and saying no is going to have to be the answer to the government in every aspect. And that's why I think New Hampshire is the place that it's going to get started, that, the end of, government rule is going to be started. Mm. But it's not enough for us to just hang out and be friends and be like, yay, we all don't hate each other for being libertarians. I think more people need to get active in a way that when somebody's getting gone after, people go and film, even just filming the goons that are going after them, mm-hmm. is part of what I'm talking about. People standing there saying,
well,
there's a group of people that will go against you. Government people, if you choose to just you know, abuse our friends.
Well, I mean, that did happen in the Crypto6 case. We had our friend Chris.
I wasn't saying it didn't happen.
I'm just pointing out that, that we have enough people here to where that can and does happen. There were Chris and Bob from Think Penguin came out at 6 in the morning, and they recorded video of the goon squad coming in here, and they weren't here for the actual kicking in of the door, the smashing in of the doors, because, well, they didn't know it was happening yet, but they got here as quickly as they could, and they got critical footage.
I talk about how that's great all the time. Yeah. One of the nicest things, the most heartwarming things that come to mind when I think about, like, living in New Hampshire and having a community, but two people isn't going to be enough.
Well, most people aren't up at 6 in the morning. I mean, the fact is, it's going to be hard
that specific situation. It's every situation. It's Joa's situation. We need 100 people that... How are there not 100 people that realize Don Bolduc attacked Joa, and he doesn't need to go to jail because Don Bolduc is a higher class citizen than him, and we need to show up at his trial and just be there looking at the judge in the face, say, Just simple things like that. It's not like you have to go and create a new library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I definitely would like to see more people turning out for court to support people like Joa. And I think you're giving an example of there's a case that's going on right now. Joa's our co-host. He's on sometimes on Thursdays with us, and he's a First Amendment auditor. The good news is the First Amendment auditor community does have its own set of fans. Some of those guys are probably going to come out to the trial. But so far, Joa hasn't actually had the trial yet. There was a hearing that we tried to go to a few weeks ago, Bonnie, to record video of it. It was going to be like a pretrial conference. That ended up getting canceled the day of.
Yep.
And usually pretrial conferences are just kind of like pretty dull. I could understand why someone wouldn't make them, you know, take their time out of their schedule, get a day off from work or whatever to go to that one. So hopefully you are going to see more people come out to the trial on that one. But yeah, I agree with you.
But like, if we have like 3,000 people here supposedly in New Hampshire, why can't we get like 100? I bet we won't.
No, I suspect, well, first of all, the courtroom wouldn't even fit 100 people, but yeah, I suspect that courtroom will not be full.
People standing out in the hallway, the bailiff's going like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, these people are scaring me. Things like that need to be going on. Bullying in high school or middle school or whatever, taking somebody's lunch money every day, isn't just going to stop because the person getting bullied is, like, mitigating the damage. Like, oh, he took my money, but I had a few cents in my pocket he didn't find out about. Yeah, he beat me up and he took $2, but I had some cents in my back pocket. Mm-hmm. I mitigated the damage. A bully's going to stop when a bunch of people surround him and say, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Get away from him. We're not going to put up with this.
I agree. People, you know, definitely need to get more active, and that's why we need to have thousands more people here. I mean, the reality is the 80-20 rule, or maybe even the 90-10 rule, is always in effect in any given group, even in a group of people who are dedicated enough to pick up their lives and move somewhere, which that alone is like a percentage of a percentage, right? Like, there's supposedly some number of percent of the population of the United States is libertarian, right? I don't know what that number is. I've heard it as high as 2 to 16%. But, you know, let's just give it, you know, 2%. 2% of the U.S. population is supposedly libertarian, like actual libertarian. People that would maybe describe themselves as libertarian, or at the very least they would score libertarian on something like the world's smallest political quiz. In that case, it'd probably be much higher than 2%. But so if it's 330 million people, that's what, 6 million roughly potential libertarians. So only a very small portion of those numbers are even willing to move somewhere for their beliefs. And so it's a fraction of probably 1% of, less than 1% of those 6 million people are going to be willing to move. And then of the group of people that actually is willing to pick up their lives and move, only so many of them are going to be effective activists. Only a small number of them are going to be the best, you know, the top tier activists.
I just don't like that defeatist attitude. Like, oh, some of them just won't be activists. Just start shaming them for being bloodsuckers.
I don't think shaming works. I think that that's probably the wrong way to go about it.
Well, you do it all the time. Whenever people are like, I'll move to New Hampshire when you guys secede, you point out that's a bad way of looking at it. Waiting for us to do all the work and then you move here when we secede? That's the same thing that the activists who are already here are doing, the libertarians who are already here are doing, who aren't activists.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm just going to sit around, go to my job every day, raise my kids, I homeschool my kids, so I feel like I'm doing something, but I'm not going to show up to court and literally say nothing, nobody knows who I even am, and just be there supporting someone because, oh, that would put my foot in the fire, and that's so scary. People need to get over their fear.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, fear is a big player in this. Carla Garrick from the Free State Project was commenting, I think it was yesterday, on Twitter about her just being bewildered as to why so many libertarians fell for the whole COVID thing. I mean, there was some people who should have known better who had previously been very, you know, critical of the government at all levels, state and federal and local and so on, who bought the whole COVID line completely from the people that were pushing it. And it was shocking, some of these people who, you know, should know better. They should know better than to trust the government. So why did they trust the government? And my answer was fear. It, you know, it's one thing to say you're a libertarian. It's another thing to actually act like one. It's another thing to actually stick to your principles. And when fear is coming into play for people, it changes how they behave. I mean, look at Melanie Neighbors. I gave her as an example of this, right? She was a host on this show. She was one of the most vehemently anti-government people out there, and to the point where it was like to the point where I disagreed with her. Like, she was an advocate of violence in a lot of cases, or at least came darn close to it. And so we had our disagreements about the different approach, but she certainly seemed to be very principled. She seemed to be very well read, very on the money as far as her viewpoints were concerned. But as soon as the federal government came in and actually got involved in her life and threatened her with what was really ultimately an empty threat, she was threatened, according to her testimony on stand during the Crypto 6 trial. She couldn't even remember, supposedly, what it was that she was threatened with, because it was that, like, insignificant, right? Like, she couldn't remember it.
The charge, yeah.
What the charge was going to be. Yeah, and it was supposedly bank fraud. And the whole idea that she would be charged with bank fraud for what she, her minimal involvement in signing a document for me that I gave to the Kraken Bitcoin exchange at one point, as my accountant in that particular case, would have not been feasible at all. Like, I don't even think they could have brought that charge against her. But she crumbled. She cracked immediately and became a state's witness in that case. So it just goes to show that no matter how tough talking, and she was an activist, right? She came out to things. She was regularly at court hearings that, like, you're talking about. She was somebody who went to those. She went specifically to one I remember that I couldn't make. She went to one of the topless protests where women were arrested for being topless at, like, Laconia Beach or something like that. And she went to that trial. She reported on it extensively. She's written blogs at freekeen.com. Like, she counted for sure as, like, an activist.
Yep.
And she crumbled under just a little threat.
That's exactly the type of thing I'm saying needs to stop happening.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm not trying to be defeatist here, Bonnie. I'm just trying to be realistic in that fear changes people from it separates the people who are just talk from the people that actually are going to stick to what it is that they believe.
Well, I just think that people who aren't going to stick to what it is that they believe need to just stay away from New Hampshire, because I don't want to be here if I could be anywhere else achieving the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Having friends. Like, I don't want to live here just to have friends, finally. That's not the bright side for me. Finally, I have friends. I'm able to not talk about politics with my friends. The other thing is that if they're here and they're not doing anything, they're just honestly wasting space. They're not going to get chosen as a jury. In fact, I've seen at least one person who claims to be a libertarian saying that they will purposely get out of jury duty by bringing up that they don't trust or that they know about jury nullification because...
Is this a free stater who said this?
No, they live in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Saying, but they are libertarian mm-hmm. and want to move to the free state one day. Mm. I'll get out of jury duty because missing a day of work is more important to me. It's just like... People like that seriously need to stay away. Like, I don't want to live in New Hampshire just to have this cultish friend group. I want to live in New Hampshire because there should be people here, and there are a lot. I'm not saying there are none. Obviously, I'm never not saying that there's none, but there needs to be a lot more, and we need this house space for them to come here and stand up together against the government. It's not like a really fun place to live. It's not like a really... I think Utah is way more beautiful than New Hampshire.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just like, give me a reason to be here other than you can finally have friends. And I think that the reason to be here is still feasible. Like, it can still happen, but people need to start shaming the people who want to come here and just sit around and, you know, wait for everybody else to do all the work and not actually support the people who are doing the work. I mean, that's the very least. Like, people like you who are actually putting their, I don't know if that's the right term, their foot in the fire, need to have at least support from the people who are doing less.
The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to join the show here. I don't generally disagree with your frustration, Bonnie. I mean, I've been here for a long time. I've seen the number of people that have attended trials fall off the radar ever since Ademo and Pete were here from Cop Block. Ademo had a full courtroom full of people in Manchester at his last trial for quote-unquote wiretapping, which sadly the jury convicted him of. You know, we had like 50 plus, maybe even 60 people in that courtroom, and it was amazing because it actually changed the whole, like, feeling or the tenor or whatever of that courtroom. Because normally, like, in a court, everybody's always really quiet. It's like this church-like atmosphere, and you can't speak because the pastor's going to get mad at you.
I was going to say it's fear. It's a environment of fear where everybody is afraid of what the scary guy and the front's going to do to them.
Yeah, and that was completely different under the Ademo trial. People were laughing. They were talking out loud. There was actually applause at multiple points during the trial. I'd never in my history had experienced a level of just openness and like a fun atmosphere almost from the people in the benches or the pews or whatever, the audience area at the trial. I've not seen that since. Jeremy's thing that happened a week or so ago was actually the biggest turnout I've seen in a court since the Ademo thing. I was really happy to see almost the whole courtroom got filled there. There was 40-plus people. There were some kids that were filling up some seats, but yeah, they count, I guess.
I wish I couldn't go to the other hearings because I either didn't live here yet or I went to Frank's hearing instead of the library hearing for the one I did live here for. But I wish I could have gone, and I wish more people would have went to those ones because I feel like they mattered more. Like, this one was just, how effed is he going to be?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't really do anything to show the judge, like, look how many people support him at that point. You know what I mean? Not that it doesn't do anything.
I don't think it would have mattered, but yeah, I agree with you. More people should have shown up before. The number here is 603-283-6160, but better late than never. And you can join us, share your thoughts on whatever's on your mind. The question is, what do we do about this attack on cryptocurrency? It ended up going into a discussion about the Free State Project, but I think we can come back around to that as well. And you mentioned going to other countries, Bonnie, and there's news out of El Salvador in this area I think is worthy of sharing. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'll be right back.
USA News update. Two suspects are in custody for planning an attack on energy substations in Maryland, wanting to completely destroy Baltimore.
Sarah Beth Clendaniel and Brandon Russell conspired to inflict maximum harm on the power grid.
Tom Sobosinski, the FBI special agent in charge of the Baltimore office, says Russell's a known neo-Nazi leader from Florida. The suspects were motivated by racist extremist ideology. China accusing the United States of indiscriminate force for shooting down a Chinese balloon that had drifted across the U.S. China remaining steadfast that it was a civilian balloon used for meteorological research that went off course. They have submitted a formal complaint with the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. Women in the U.S. may still have a constitutional right to an abortion, even though the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last summer. A Washington, D.C. judge said the 13th Amendment may include reproductive rights. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Bonnie joining you tonight. Phones open. That's what we do here. We take your calls and thoughts about whatever is on your mind. And we also bring things to the table to discuss that we think you might find interesting. And I do want to say thank you to Monero FTW, who is a supporter of Free Talk Live's AMPS program. And you can join Monero FTW over at amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you over to our Patreon page. You can sign up there for as little as $5 a month, which is the amount that Monero FTW is doing. And that helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. That's what AMPS stands for. It's a way for you to get involved in helping us support this mission of spreading the ideas of peace, liberty, and cryptocurrency and things like that all around the planet.
And is FTW for the win?
I believe so.
That's funny.
So thank you to Monero FTW for your support. And you can join him or her, not sure, over at amps.freetalklive.com. You get some perks like access to the AMPS Only podcast, which has the full radio show without any of the recorded commercials involved in it. So thank you again for that, and appreciate anybody who wants to support us. Also, we can now be support us directly on Odyssey as well, as we announced earlier tonight. If you want to try that instead of doing Patreon, you can do that, although it doesn't have the same perks because Patreon is the one that provides the podcast that I was just telling you about. But it is a different way to support us without having to go through Patreon, and you can do that on our Odyssey channel. Just click join at the top of the page at video.freetalklive.com. Bad Slave is on the line in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Bad Slave.
Howdy. You know, you guys were just talking about what happened with Melanie and how, you know, fear being generated is a huge part of the problem. And the idea that governments that are there to protect rights, which is a huge joke. I'm not ever going to even challenge that. But the point is that one of the tools that these authorities depend on, and we don't have to let them.
Fear,
and
right?
They lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're going to be a liar, operating within the realm of authoritative arrangements with government, then that's a crime in my mind. And if that crime is, and I think it rises to the level of a felony, because people are harmed. People are harmed, and
sure.
And the fact is that they not only need to be put in sanction in jails and whatever, they need to be put on the Lori list as well.
The Lori list is a New Hampshire-based list of bad behaving cops, basically cops that are problematic. That had previously been very secretive, but they were forced by a Supreme Court decision in New Hampshire to reveal that Lori list within the last couple of years. They're still fighting over it, but most of the list has been revealed, as I understand it.
Well, before the government, showed up in people's countries, you know, I'm not saying that there was like one time period that happened, but, you know, before people got convinced that governments, you know, have a right to exist and are there to protect them, humans just knew that there was one law, and that's do no harm. So these people, calling themselves governments, these tyrants and parasites, are doing the only crimes, basically, that aren't just people out there, random people hurting each other, you know?
It's organized crime.
It's organized crime, and it's like the main crime that goes on every day. I think that people would do a lot less hurting and killing each other if there wasn't government out there already hurting them to where they were in, you know, pathetic, impoverished positions and couldn't get ahead because I don't have all these taxes to pay to start a new business, so I'm just getting a drug deal. Oh, and drug dealing is really dangerous because it's illegal, so I'm going to have to kill this guy because he's trying to rob me while I'm drug dealing or whatever. You know, I really think that the government...
It creates crime.
They are criminals, and they create crime.
Bad Slave, any other comments? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that I think that the political capital exists in the general court in New Hampshire right now to get a ranging repudiation of this, you know, awful, awful, awful accepted practice. Which is, it's so easy to create fear if you're just going to lie through your teeth and, you know, fraud is harm. I'm sorry.
I see. You're saying that, like in Melanie example, they lied to her that they were going to come after her, that they had bank fraud allegations to come after her for, and therefore people were harmed because she, you know, it generated fear.
And most charges that they come up with, you know, like in the Crypto Six or whatever's going on with the SEC, you know, the Fed, they're all, you know, engaged in and some level of fraud. And we have to squash that.
Thank you, Bad Slave. Thank you for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and this comes back around to the what do we do about it question, Bonnie, that you had a little bit earlier in regards to this whole discussion about the SEC targeting Library and targeting other crypto companies like Ripple, the federal government targeting people like the Crypto Six, including me and others, Mark Hopkins, many others who have sold Bitcoin online with or without asking for permission. What do you do about this situation? And the reality is nothing can be done about Washington, D.C. except to leave it. And, you know, some people are physically leaving the United States. And then there's also independence movements that are forming in various and have formed in various different areas. You have the Texas Nationalist Movement, which has probably got the longest track record and maybe the most success as far as spreading the word about independence. Texas has a fairly, I would say, willing population down there, at least according to a survey that was done in the summer of 2022. New Hampshire has a newer movement. It's only been around here for about a decade, but we've also had some tremendous success as far as the political system is concerned. Is any of the, you know, is that going to happen anytime soon? I mean, we can't predict the future. Probably not going to happen in 2024, although that would be the soonest that New Hampshire could possibly get something onto the ballot to allow the people of New Hampshire to vote on declaring independence. But unfortunately, the first time we tried it last year, only 13 of the 400 state reps voted for it. So, you know, we've got a long way to go on that particular issue, but getting out from underneath the federal government's jurisdiction, of course, would be the solution. But even that doesn't necessarily work, because even if you can get out from under their jurisdiction, you're still not free of them, because as they've proven, they can still come and get you. You know, SBF, for instance, the guy from the FTX, who is accused of actually defrauding people, unlike the Crypto Six, he was handed over, you know, he was extradited from the Bahamas.
Yeah, they have their methods. He ended up agreeing to get extradited because they put him in, like, the most dangerous prison in the Bahamas.
Yeah. So, like, they can come after people in most countries on the planet. It's like, okay, well, yeah, Edward Snowden's hiding out in Russia.
Well, even then, like,
who wants to live there?
Yeah, running away to another country isn't anything about, or anything like what I'm talking about anyway, because what I'm talking about is freeing everybody who wants to be free. Maybe not freeing the world, because the world doesn't want to be free.
No, they don't.
And I wouldn't coerce them to do something they don't want to do.
Right, yeah, if you want to have a master, you should have one.
But freeing everybody that wants to be free isn't just going off and being, oh, okay, I'm not under, you know, me and my family are okay. We're over here in, I don't know, somewhere like an island somewhere, mm-hmm. and we're okay, so therefore, that's all the work I had to do. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, you can do that basically anywhere. You can do that in your mind right now. You can just decide, there are certain things I'm going to overlook and deal with, and I'm going to live in Alabama. And, well, my kids aren't getting taught about drag queens in school, and that's the most important thing to me. You can do that right now in the United States, and you can probably do it even better outside of the United States if you care more about other things. But if you want to create a world where everybody's free, I don't think that just running away is the answer.
No, that doesn't change anything.
That's the My Freedom Movement.
That's Mark's thing. That's what he's doing with his thing down in Honduras. And I do wish him the best. I hope it works out.
And I'm glad that he's openly promoting it for what it is. It's not free the world. It's you want to get away from the other stuff, come here. I'm just saying, it's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do agree with you, Bonnie, because, you know, what is it, the old saying, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing?
Right.
Right. And so the more good people that we can get to concentrate themselves in one area, I still believe is the best path to freedom. I mean, that is, or at least more freedom. And that is what Jeremy Kaufman was pointing out, is that it's a proven fact that the Free State Project is a working, it's not just an experiment, it's a proven working system of encouraging like-minded, liberty-oriented people to migrate to the same geographic area. And we still see on Twitter every day and social media where people are saying, I'm coming. I got to get my S straight. I got to get my business sold. I got to get my, you know, my mom's dying or whatever. Right? There's different things that people have to kind of square away in their lives before they can make a move somewhere. It's not easy, right? Especially if you got a large family or a business or something like that, it takes time. But there's people who are saying they're coming, And 2021 was the largest year so far. They have not released the numbers for 2022 yet, by the way, for the Free State Project. 2021 was the largest year for movers for the Free State Project to New Hampshire. And so, you know, I'm not as critical as Bonnie on, you know, what they're doing, because I don't honestly know what they're all doing. Some of them probably doing more than we realize. And some people focus on different areas that we think is important. They might not think they're as important. But I think we need all types. I think we need all levels of interaction. Not everyone can be a super activist. Not everyone can, you
You're
know,
the only super activist. And if you go to jail, then the Free State Project is over.
That is not true. There's plenty of super activists out there. But unfortunately, Dave Ridley is currently stuck in Colorado due to family health issues. Yeah, he would be probably the first on my list of other super activists here.
Yeah,
in New
I wasn't thinking about Dave Ridley.
But there are many, and the more the people. Zephin would be another good example of a super activist as well. And, you know, he's got a different focus, right? Like, he's training to be a lawyer, and he's doing bill readings for the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. He's done, I believe, over 300 of them so far this year. He's, again, the number one bill reviewer. And you know how hard it is to do those bill reviews, Bonnie. You've been doing a handful of them yourself.
I've done five.
Yeah, I mean, he's up to three. No one gets even close to Zephin. Like, there's a number two, but that number two is a distant.
In, like, the hundreds. He's done, like, 320-something. 270 of them have been published.
Yeah.
And the next person has like 100 something.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. That's also really good.
I'm past like the middle of the leaderboard now just with five.
That's not bad. So,
all of mine have been published.
But it's important work, you know, that and it's boring work, but it's important work, and some people
it's just
really
time consuming. Like yeah. When I do one, it takes all the whole night, like the whole time I've set aside to do it.
Yeah, like an hour at least per bill, it seems.
Because you want to do a good job, like you want to make sure you're reading what it really says, and it's all convoluted.
Yeah, they're complex. So anyway, I just think we need more people in general, and that's happening, right? Like it's slow going because you have to recruit people to come to a place and change their whole lives around. So, and then some people got to, you know, they got to get in, and they got to get their job, and they got to, you know, get the bills paid before they feel like they can come out to things. And I'm not going to indict somebody for taking their time with doing activism or whatever it is they're doing. But anyway, so what else can we do? I think that's it. I think seceding from the United States is the only solution as far as the cryptocurrency world is concerned, because they aren't going to stop. They're going to continue doing the attacks against people in the world of cryptocurrency, and they're going to have success in trying to paint cryptocurrency as this dangerous wild west. It's risky. You don't want to get involved in risky things, and, you know, trying to make it look like it's full of scam artists like SBF, you know, the guy from the FTX exchange. And see, you don't want to be doing these things. You're dangerous, Americans.
And, you know, that really reminds me of a conversation I was having with a friend recently. Is just basically, there was somebody on Twitter that some Democrat lady from New Hampshire that posted a picture of LPNH. It was a screenshot of something they had said, and I'll tell you what that said in a second, but the Democrat lady posted it and said, like, I don't normally compare people to the Nazis, but the Free Staters are becoming like the Nazis, and it's a big deal. And all LPNH said, I'm not going to get the exact quote off the top of my head.
It's like projecting to me.
Right. All LPNH said, and I'm not going to get, LPNH is the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire.
Thank you, yeah.
I'm not going to get the exact quote off the top of my head, but it was something like, we want to push out all of the violent people, like socialists, mm-hmm. who live in New Hampshire by becoming the most free state, basically.
Right.
And I pointed out to her, you can't point to anything violent being said in that screenshot. Like,
right.
There's nothing violent to be pointed to. And a friend of mine messaged me and said, I think this is a important learning opportunity, because while everybody, me included, that commented that was logically correct, the Democrat lady and all her friends, they don't think logically.
Mm.
They only think emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to that isn't to, you know, twist my ways into only being emotional with her, but, you know, it is a technique called, I can't remember what it's called right now, where people learn how to persuade people via, you know, not just always being the way that you think all the time, talking to them in a way that you know will complement the way that they think.
Mm. So, an appeal to emotion.
Right, like appeal to the emotion in that Yeah. Case. Now, what were we talking about that reminded me of that? You said something about emotions.
I don't know, but you're right. People do need to be emotionally on board with the things that we're talking about. Logic is great, but it's really only going to convince a very small portion of the population. Most people are like what you're talking about. They think based on emotion. They feel things, and so they need to be able to feel that the government is a danger to them. The government is harmful to peaceful people. And luckily, all we have to do is really just point it out, because the government just keeps on giving us example after example of their tyranny and their violence against people, and it's becoming more, I think, more and more prevalent and more obvious. But that's kind of one of our roles here, is to say, oh, look over here. Here's the government destroying somebody's life. Oh, here's five black cops killing a black guy or whatever, right? Like, you just keep telling these stories and showing people the truth, and maybe some people will see it for what's really happening. So I mentioned other solutions. We were talking about cryptocurrency, and your question, Bonnie, was what do we do? Well, obviously, moving to New Hampshire, if you are living in the United States, is a relatively easy thing to do, right? Like, all things considered, you pack your stuff, you get your savings together, and you make the move, you find a place to live, you get a new job or whatever, right? You move your business, that kind of thing. That's pretty simple. Well, whether it's easy or not, it's at least simple. It's pretty straightforward. Gets a little more complicated when the answer is to leave the United States. Okay, well, where do you go? Can you go to that place? Are there rules that are in place to prevent you from going to that place? Can you even leave the United States? Like, I can't leave. They took my passport.
I don't have a passport.
Right? I'm under bail conditions anyway, and they'll certainly come to get me if I tried to. So I have no intention of doing that. But, you know, if you're free to leave, if you do have a passport, where do you go? Well, a lot of crypto people have been talking about El Salvador as an option, since the country of El Salvador in 2021, I believe it was September of 2021, they announced that they were going to make Bitcoin legal tender in the nation of El Salvador. Now, that is in addition to the U.S. dollar, which is also legal tender in El Salvador. And this is one of the things that makes... kind of makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't agree with the way they went about it, meaning that they did put in the law that you have to accept Bitcoin if someone offers Bitcoin as payment.
Right.
Now, they say, the president of the country says, well, that's not being enforced. And it's not, from what I understand, right? Like, if you're a 70-year-old man selling tacos from a cart on the street, and somebody offers you Bitcoin, you tell them no, the cops aren't going to come arrest you, right? They're not going to. That's not happening, thankfully. But it is in the law. Okay, so.
Yeah, what's even the point of putting in the law? It's crazy.
Because they could enforce it at some point if they wanted to.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But it's not being enforced, so, okay, so that's the case there. But, now it's been more than a year, maybe almost not quite a year and a half since that change got made, and. It's been interesting watching the international response to El Salvador, specifically other countries, and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has been lashing out. They've been lashing out at El Salvador for some time. And according to RT.com, which is Russia Today, the story came out just a couple of weeks ago, the head of El Salvador, the president there, Nayib Bukele, has slammed international media for claims that the country is on a brink of default on their bond payments. He said that, according to the story here, El Salvador has successfully made the $800 million government bond payment that was due in January, according to Nayib Bukele, the president, in a Twitter post. Tuesday's transaction followed an earlier payment and included a $604 million bond payment and $23.4 million in interest, according to Bukele's press office. Quote, he said, we just paid in full, $800 million plus interest, but of course, almost nobody is covering the story. They lie and lie and lie, and when their lies are exposed, they go on silence mode.
For some reason, no one's talking about this. No one's covering the story. It's like I think it's just a buzz term at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, people will start to be way more interested in it if you type... blah, blah, blah is happening in India, and no one is talking about it.
Yeah.
And then everybody starts talking about it, but they keep saying that. But anyways.
Well, by definition, if someone's talking about it, then no one isn't talking about it. But his point is, and he makes it pretty strongly, I actually have his Twitter thread pulled up here. He says that prior to them making this payment, the mainstream media all around the planet was going off about how they'll never make the payment. He said that they all said without striking a deal with,
yeah, I remember that,
with the IMF, that we're going to be able to, we're going to be unable to pay our 2023 bond because of our quote unquote Bitcoin losses. And then he cites article after article after article, Washington Post, New York Times, you know, international coverage, where they said the same thing. Full page spreads, he says, on the New York Times and all, creating the narrative that El Salvador is broke and is going to default. He says, I called them out at the time, but of course, who was going to believe us? And not every international news outlet and their so-called economic geniuses.
Hmm.
He says, well, we just paid in full, $800 million plus interest, but of course, almost no one is covering the story. I just found one, yes, one, in Spanish from Colombia, and then he links to that.
Hmm.
He says, they lie and lie and lie, and when then they're exposed, they go on silence mode. So he did pay, you know, they, the government there did pay this. Now, this guy's a thug, too. Okay, I think it's important to point that out. I am not some sort of Bukele fan. I don't think he's a good guy. He is a politician.
Monster.
He's a politician. Yeah, he's a monster in his own way, right? Like, he's oppressing the people of El Salvador in his own way. We don't talk a lot about what happens down there, but every now and then we've done a story about it. And, you know, he's not a, in favor of free speech or anything like that, right? Like,
he's in favor of killing all drug dealers or putting them in his horrible prison.
Yeah, he just rounds people up from the streets and just throws them into overcrowded El Salvadoran prisons. I mean, it's terrifying. So, like, this guy isn't a good guy, but he is on the right side, at the very least, of the Bitcoin question. And he's speaking out against the International Monetary Fund, and he's going against the international grain to some extent. And to that extent, I appreciate the things that he says on this particular issue. His announcement followed a campaign, or rather a statement from the finance minister, who also denounced the media's disinformation campaign about the state of El Salvador's finances. Bukele, who calls himself the CEO of El Salvador, championed the country's adoption of Bitcoin as official currency alongside the U.S. dollar in 2021. El Salvador became the first country in the world to legalize Bitcoin as a means of payment. The move sparked widespread controversy and prompted Fitch Ratings to downgrade El Salvador's sovereign debt to CC rating, which stands for a very high level of default risk, in September of 2022. There's a little bit more to the story here, and is the solution to the difficulties that Bitcoin's facing in the United States to make the move to a place like El Salvador? Share your thoughts and bring up whatever's on your mind here. Maybe you have a solution as well, because I like the Free State Project as a solution. More coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.